Hello and welcome to the PB&J podcast. I am the PB in the equation, Patrick Butler, and I'm joined literally by the J in the equation. Welcome home, Jesse Hubmaker.
Hey everybody, good to be home. Beautiful Saturday afternoon. Leaves are looking beautiful. The trees are beautiful. It's just a beautiful day to be out drinking.
We are recording live in front of a studio. Okay, well, maybe not a studio audience, a party of one. But nevertheless, we're excited to get a podcast off the ground together. And today we've got something special. We're going to expand things and blow it out a little bit more and jump into our infamous punch list. The things that we're into this week, whether we're watching them, listening to them, reading them, drinking them, all of the above. We're going to expand on that punch list and dive into things. So first of all, how's your trip back been?
Oh, it's been great. Been great catching up with people. Had a lot of fun. Had a lot of food. Drank a lot of coffee, a lot of alcohol. You forgot to mention our crowd of unicorns staring intently at us as we speak. Kind of intimidating, but it's been great. It's been great.
Well, good. Well, I hope you've saved some of that drinking capacity for today as we visit some breweries and visit some old friends. So
I will. I have.
Well, as we get into this, as I mentioned on the at the onset, we're going to expand the punch list. And it's one of the favorite things that Jesse and I do when we talk about our favorite things. And so as we dive into this, I'm curious where you'd like to start, man. Our punch list is vast, but where would you like to dive in?
Well, let's start with the thing that we've done the probably have the least to talk about. Let's start with books.
All right.
Or reading.
Sorry. Reading. Whatever material you may be reading. All right. Have you been reading something in particular?
Yeah, I started on the flight reading Two and Two, McSorley's, My Dad and Me. Very interesting book. Guy writing a book about his dad who's been a bartender at McSorley's, which is the oldest bar in New York City. And just talking about growing up, and I'm to the point now where he is an adult and in college. But it's very interesting reading, getting the backstory. Kind of makes me think about, like, you know, everybody had nicknames at the bar. They all, you know, that was Jimmy Vodka or so, you know, and it made me like kind of reminisce about the days of going to the bars frequently. And you made up names. You never knew that person's name. You knew that they were Joe PB&R or you know, Joe Talk Fast or something like that, or, you know, and so it's making the book a really interesting read. You know, I don't think it's a Pulitzer Prize, but it's a nice read.
Now it's from his perspective. His dad was a bartender. Is that right?
His dad is, as at the time of the writing, still had been a bartender for 40 years. The amazing thing is his dad is a recovering alcoholic. And the bar only serves two types of beer, a light and a dark ale. Nothing else. No hard liquor. The original owner believed that bad things happen when there's liquor. So they just serve two types of beer, and then they have different some food there too.
Now, if you have enough beer, bad things can happen too, but okay, all right.
Yeah. I mean, of course. But you know, a lot of it also talks about how they did a good job of making sure that people weren't over the edge. You know, of course, there's always the person that was, but it seemed like from the stories that I've read so far is that they did a really good job of keeping people under control.
Nice. All right. So you're getting into that. That actually, now I'm curious. I kind of might want to read that myself. All right. Well, my sister gifted me a book on my trip to Charlotte with her, and it's called The Great Alone. I'm just getting into it as well, and I'll tell you, it's interesting. It's about a family. It's set in, I believe, 1974, if I recall, and the father of the family is a vet, a Vietnam vet, came back home, and it's about their life as they've traveled city to city because he could just never get settled and find work and stay with it, and he's really suffering from some of the traumatic events that he went through in the war. But a friend of his in the war gifted him a plot of land and an old cabin in Alaska. And so he thinks, hey, we've got it made. Let's go and let's do this and let's go to Alaska. And so I've started off, and so far they're in Alaska and they're getting settled into the cabin, but it's really written well, very descriptive. I get a great sense of the characters and what the family members are going through. And so I'm excited about this because already it's drawn me in, but I like the premise already. It's called The Great Alone. It's by Kristen Hanna, and it's a good one so far. So diving in.
You know, you always are reading these deep books, and I'm reading like some trivial thing, and I'm starting to feel a little intimidated by this. Can we eliminate that part from the punch list?
That's right. The reading material is off the punch list now. Or I'll dive down. I'll pick up it. I'll just dive into magazines or something related to drink. I don't know.
That's good. I like that. Let's go with that.
All right. So we've got our reading materials out of the way. What have you been watching, man?
Well, you know, I know we're late to season two of Ozarks, but I have a systematic process which drives Beth insane that I like to either finish a season of a show or get to like almost the finish before I start another. So we started watching Ozark. Fucking nuts. You know, you're watching it, and the really truly sad thing about it is you can see all of it really truly happening. It's not like some far-fetched story. It just, something happens and you're like, God, yeah. You know, I read about something like that or something, you know, and it just draws you in. We've also been watching, we started watching Shameless. Of course, we were late to the start of that season. But the other part of it is I don't like to feel like I'm constantly waiting for an episode. I like to be able to burn through a season or you know, watch it at my own pace. And then my guilty pleasure, MTV, The Challenge. I'm drawn into that. Such good drama. The acting is top notch in that. It's a guilty pleasure to watch with the dogs on my day off and see what our society is really all about. So those are just three off the top recently for me. What's going on with you?
All right. No, I get the thing about overlapping series. So you've got something to either alternate or dive into as one winds down. And so I started watching The Night Manager, and that's been out for a little while. But so far it's been, you know, a good little escape. I'd always read a lot of good things about it. And so that's been on Amazon Prime, and I started that. To your point, I'm actually about two or three episodes into season two of Ozark, and I need to pick up the pace and dive back in. I've been alternating that one. But I did finish All or Nothing, and I know that you watched this season two as well with you know, Manchester City and following their brilliant season. And I'll tell you, out of all the sports reality shows that follow teams or coaches or players, that season really seemed to resonate with me on a different level. I felt like you really got a great sense of what those players were going through, the coaches going through, the fans were feeling as they watched it unfold throughout the season. I thought it was well done, and it gave me a much different perspective on the EPL and what was going on with that team. So I absolutely loved that season with Manchester City.
Yeah, I agree. The two most fascinating ones they've done have been the rugby and the soccer. And maybe it's because it really truly they're foreign to us. I know that your daughter is really getting into soccer, so hopefully it's been helping with you having a better understanding of the sport. But yeah, it gives you a whole different a view on it, you know, and you know, not to knock the football ones, but I think the football ones tend to focus more on the characters and less on the fans and the team and the history. And so I think that the one with Manchester City has done an outstanding job of making you feel like you literally are part of that organization, giving you a good feel like, you know, you're sitting in Omaha or New Orleans, but you're really in Manchester City with being part of it. So yeah, I've enjoyed that one too.
I can't help but think too, and I don't know, maybe you feel differently about this, but the reality shows with the NFL teams, coaches and players, and or some of the college ones for that matter, I can't help but think that they're somewhat scrubbed, you know, so that the NFL has a certain image that they can uphold. Same with the NCAA, which I understand. I get that. But I'll be honest, when I watch those shows, I want to see the reality of the situation. I want to see what they're going through, what they're facing, the ups, the downs, and how they deal with it. And I felt like this gave me more of a perspective more than anything.
Oh, true. I mean, you know, I know that the NFL does have their image, and so they want to give you a character, and they'll throw you, you know, one or two players with their family to get that, you know, that nice soft feel, but they don't really show you what it's like on All or Nothing, the player whose son is in South America, you know, and being able to come and see him. And that truly, you know, you don't see that in the NFL because you got a family. Yes, they may be based in Los Angeles and the team may be playing in New England, but it's a quick flight away. It's not a huge commitment. The whole family can go. It's not that big of a deal for them to go. And it does. It gives you more insight. You see a little bit more, not of the players like being a goofy player, but you see more of like what they're going through, their rehab, their quick turnaround process for the games and everything else. They do a wonderful job of capturing that. And, you know, maybe the EPL is like, yeah, we want to give you a much truer insight into the game instead of something that's, you know, kind of watered down. But, yeah, they do an outstanding job.
Well, all right, we're watching our stuff, reading our stuff, but now we got to get to some of the goodies here. What are we listening to? And music is our passion. What have you been listening to, my friend?
Well, I came into knowing that we were going to do this podcast, and so on my plane flight, I was kind of thinking about things, and I went through like a classic soul flight, but then all of a sudden, I was reading the book, and I don't know what the hell happened, but Lenny Kravitz, Let Love Rule. I just was, it was processing through my head. Maybe it was the book, something they were talking about, he was writing about and discussing. And then it just kind of all clicked with me with what's going on in our crazy fucking country that song just says, like, I got to listen to that. And I think I listened to it like for three times on the flight in to Omaha. And the more I thought about it, the more it kind of hit with me. And then I had to go patronize Homer's yesterday, and I got the new Jason Isbell live at the Ryman Auditorium. And man, that album, you're capturing somebody, I feel, who is right now probably our best songwriter of the last 10 years, at least. At his full strength, and just everything, every song is different. I mean, you're a fan, but I feel like his songs, kind of like with Bruce Springsteen, they kind of resonate with you in some form or the other. You can relate to whatever's going on in the song some way. I listened to that. I was listening to a bunch of, I went with some, Ike and Tina Turner, some Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin. I was just wandering through. I actually had an old soul collection that I made years ago that was still lingering around in my iPod, and I was listening to that. So that's pretty much it. How about you?
No, I appreciate where you're at with the different veins that you tap into, whether it be soul or singer-songwriter. You know, I went to see the National a couple of weeks ago, and I'm a big fan of theirs. And I started, it really just pushed me back into their library a little bit. And what that allowed me to do, I'll tell you, first of all, I absolutely love that band and what they're doing, but I really started diving into his lyrics a little bit. And one thing, when I grew up and I listened to music and songs, I wanted to read the lyrics. And I wanted to understand why that song was written. Was there a message, a meaning, a story being told, that sort of thing. And I came from a really simplistic point of view with songs. And I guess what I mean by that is I expected the story or the wording or the lyrics to be very straightforward, almost like I was reading a story or a book or an article. And when I got introduced to bands that took lyrics and wrote them and they meant something else and they didn't have to be in that same structure, it kind of messed with me at first. And so as an example, one of the bands that you and I absolutely love is REM. And I started to dive back into REM after I was listening to The National, because REM messed me up with lyrics, man. Michael Stipe, his songwriting, I love it, but it messed me up for quite a while. I had to understand, and not that I do understand, I'm going to clarify, not that I understand his songwriting, but I had to accept his form of songwriting and the way he would structure lyrics and their meaning to him. And I had to interpret it in my own way, and same for you. But I've read into that the same way that I've listened to The National and REM or even Pixies. Those bands in particular messed me up with lyrics. And it was awesome because it opened me up and it forced me to look at songs and lyric writing and songwriting in a different way. And I appreciate them so much for that. So I started off with The National and diving deep, and it shifted me back to the boys so I could get back into REM. And I've kind of dug back deeper just to kind of go back through those lyrics and see what they mean to me now and see what those songs mean to me now. And it's a deep hole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, I didn't mention the REM live at the BBC,
mm-hmm.
that box set. It's outstanding. They did a very, very nice job of giving you the old, the middle, and the new being at the end of their career, a great retrospective. But you can see the progression if you listen to the early show from I believe it's England. I can't remember what the show is, but if you listen to that and you listen to the lyrics and you hear, you can tell when he's changing the lyrics. But then when you listen to the changes, it makes sense with what he's saying in the song. But then you go back and you sing in the song, the original lyrics in your head, and you're like, fuck, I like those new ones better. But that's a really nice point to jump off with. And getting to your point about the meanings and stuff, it still to this day, when I go to a wedding or I hear about a wedding and they play The One I Love, I really want to go up to them and ask them really what they're hearing and what they're thinking. And then just kind of go lyric by lyric through it with them. But then I'm like, no, this is their day. If they want to have a slow dance or a special dance to a perfect breakup song, then go right to it.
That's such a good point, man. I still don't get that one, and I laugh when I hear people singing along happily in their car. I'm like, well, okay. We'll just leave that alone.
Another prop to occupy my time.
Hey, it goes out to The One I Love. Give me a kiss, sweetie. All right, so listen to the good stuff. Drinking's on tap today, and I actually started off by sharing a drink with Jesse, which is my first drink that I'll dive into, and that is we're going to go visit some breweries in Omaha today. But I started off by sharing an IPA from Odell, and it is their Cloud Catcher Milkshake IPA, and I've really been looking forward to this limited release. I finally found it, and I saved a little bit back for Jesse to share with me this morning as we record. And a really smooth IPA. That milkshake effect really takes the edge off of what a normal IPA might be, and I've enjoyed that quite a bit. So Odell is leading my list right now, and I'm in that transition with fall, with the weather changing, and that's typically when I change the type of drink or beer that I'm into. So I'll definitely go on record as saying that I haven't wavered from the whiskey, but the beer is definitely shifting, and I'm shifting back over to my IPAs and some of my ales and stouts. And where are you at?
Well, last Sunday, Beth and I said, hey, let's go to Courtyard Brewery. It's our favorite brewery. They just celebrated their fourth year party the day before. Years past, we went like the day after they had their party just because we didn't want to be couldn't be part of the party or weather didn't allow it. And they're opening a new tap room stumbling distance from our house. We got to wait another year or so for it, but you know, it just got them on our brain. And while we were there, Beth mentioned we should check out this new brewery that opened called Miel. And I was like, all right, I'm game for it. But we had to wait, and we got there. Literally, we were the first. They opened the doors, and we were the first ones in there. Really, really nice industrial feel, very open, great place. But they had a Hellevisen, and you enjoy a beer, you think about the beer, you drink it, you move on, blah, blah, blah. I'm still thinking about that fucking beer. Mm. It was so smooth and so good. And it actually kind of made me think about where I am with beer and how I'm gradually transitioning from the dark side into more of the light side with the beers. I really enjoyed that beer. And then our arrival in Omaha, I had to go with your standby Boulevard Wheat, and we got weird looks for ordering beer at lunch at noon. I didn't know that there was something wrong with that, but you know, that happens.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, but you know, I guess, you know, it was, I think everybody was a good 10 to 20 years older than us in the place, so that probably explains it. So, but yeah, no, that Miel, the Hellevisen, if you're in New Orleans, I strongly recommend checking out that brewery, that beer. Hopefully we talk with the owner and head brewer, and hopefully he, in some form or the other, keeps that beer as a regular there.
Nice. Nice. You know, it's funny, day drinking. I love day drinking when I have the opportunity. You know, what's funny is just the acceptance, to your point. When I first started having the opportunity to go to Europe, we'd have lunch and they would cater in. This is during a class session, by the way. And we'd stop for lunch and they'd cater in and they'd have beer. And at first I kind of did the side glance, like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. this is awkward. But then I realized it's just normal. It's accepted and there's no big deal.
Yeah.
And I don't get that.
Well, I guess though, if you're at a hair conference, they may have to limit your number of beers because they don't want, you know, to be doing a demonstration and it go south on them. But well, yeah, it is weird. You know, and I guess coming from New Orleans where it's nothing to see somebody with a beer in their hand walking down the street at 7 a.m. or
good morning.
Yeah, good morning, you know, or 6 a.m. they're riding their bike and they got their beer in their cup holder. So it's, I guess I've gotten to the point where I completely no big deal to be drinking at any time. And maybe it was just the fact that they're not used to it, or they were there on a lunch break, who knows. But to your point, yeah, I mean, Europeans do it, why can't we? So
that's right. All right. Well, it's great to have you back in town. We are about to head out and visit some breweries and enjoy the day. I get the luxury of being with Jesse and his wonderful wife, Beth, and we're going to have some fun and see some old friends. So thank you again for joining the PB&J podcast. We are a Find the River production. Jesse, glad to have you back, my friend.
Great to be back. And we're also going to Jake's birthday party.
That's right.
I'm sure when he listens, he'll be super excited about us calling out his birthday party.
That's right. Well, thanks for tuning in. We will see you all, or hear you all, listen to you all, hear us, listen to us, and tune in to us the next time. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.